from my favorite weekend stop, semi-live from Studio B. This is View from the Bleachers. I'm Eric.
I'm Aaron.
Yep. Hi.
Hi.
How was the week?
Hey.
Yeah.
It's all right.
That's about right. Yeah. Nice to see you again.
Yeah. Can't see that on the radio.
No, that was a good salute. Appreciate
yeah,
that. That really tied it together for me.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
Not so hard.
We are recording on a Thursday afternoon instead of a Friday morning. Does not change a single thing, other than the view isn't quite as good from Studio B as it is from the construction cam out on Studio A. Yeah, it's been a good football week, if nothing else.
Oh, man, it's football.
Well, it's been a good football season.
It has been actually a good season.
It really has. Yeah.
I mean, good for me. I mean, as a Vikings fan, because they've been looking really, really good.
Yes. Good for me as a Packer fan.
Yeah, you're not terrible.
Not terrible. Good for me from fantasy football leagues. We've looked good. And from an NFL standpoint, the best teams are still the best teams, right? Like, you've still got Patrick Mahomes is still the face of the franchise of the NFL. His team is undefeated.
Going for the three-peat.
Going for a three-peat to win a Super Bowl. Absolutely everyone is chasing the Kansas City Chiefs.
And they're having really not that good on offense.
Correct.
You know, but that might change. DeAndre Hopkins.
I saw that it's trade season in the NFL, so you're getting it's not like big trades like in the NBA, big trades, or maybe Major League Baseball, where you'll trade a frontline starter gets traded. It doesn't happen a ton in NFL. You're seeing wide receivers get traded at the deadline, which is, I guess, if you're a team, it makes sense, because probably wide receiver might be the easiest to take a guy who's never played in your system before, show him a play real quick, and have him be able to be successful.
Right.
It's not like a quarterback or a D lineman. If you're a team that needs a D lineman, that guy's going to have to come in and learn a lot of schemes, a lot of cadence, a lot of where to line up for all sorts of things. Whereas a wide receiver, their patterns
you can run down the field and just catch it.
Correct. Yep.
You know.
Run 10 yards, go right. Run 10 yards, cut left. Whatever that is. Yep. So you're seeing a little bit of that. I don't see the Vikings picking up anybody.
There has been some chatter about them looking to get Matthew Stafford, and I'm like, why?
That doesn't make any sense. Yeah, none whatsoever. No. The Vikings are just like the Packers. They've drafted well. They've put the right free agents in place where they don't need to make trades. They understand the value of their draft capital, because they're getting, instead of trading a third-round pick to get a wide receiver, they're just drafting a guy in the third round that starts, that sees
or not
numbers.
Even drafting a guy.
Correct. Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
No, I think Minnesota's team, health is always an issue.
Sure.
You know, I mean, look at Tampa Bay. They just lost
both wide receivers within about 20 minutes of game time, lost their starting number one and starting number two wide receiver.
Yeah,
which makes – but luckily Green Bay hasn't seen much of that outside of a quarterback, right? Like their big injury, hopefully, fingers crossed, happened early. And same thing for Minnesota, right? Like Minnesota's big injury happened in the preseason. Their whole with J.J. McCarthy, right? Like him getting hurt changed everything about this season.
I don't think it changed everything. I think it maybe changed how the other half of the season. Because I think at some point, depending on.
I mean, Sam Darnold's numbers are top.
He's top five.
I was going to say top ten, no matter what.
Yeah.
But yeah, Sam.
So if he wasn't playing well, then you would have expected J.J. to go in, but. If you would have been playing like he's playing now, then no, he would have sat all year. So,
yep, they're
yeah.
We had talked at the beginning there. Maybe it was fortunate for the team that they didn't have a rookie starting quarterback, and it's turned out to be absolutely accurate
so far.
They haven't needed the athleticism or the arm talent of J.J. McCarthy. They've needed Sam Darnold to just keep making the right plays,
which he for the most part has.
Yeah,
I mean, he's like I said, he's top 10 right now.
I mean, he was the top two at the for a little bit for the season, and he's leveled out, but it's because they've played harder teams. They've played real defenses. Every quarterback's going to give up an interception or two.
Yeah.
That is just how it goes. I don't think, in our division, Detroit looks like a team that could make a trade, right? Like
With Aiden Hutchinson going out for the season, didn't need to. I think it showed on the game versus Minnesota. That,
correct.
You know, they didn't get to the quarterback. They got to the – I mean, it says four sacks, but that number is kind of
right.
Wonky anyway. But they really didn't get to Sam Darnold.
They won without Aiden Hutchinson over the weekend.
Barely.
But yeah, that doesn't – they have the youngest defense in the league. And when you are the youngest defense in the league and you've lost your best player, that's impactful. Yep. Like, that's your captain. That's the
– I mean, in a person like – when you lose an Aiden, it'd be like the Rams – losing Aaron Donald.
Yes, no, it's 100%.
You know, it's an impactful player, like you said, but he makes a difference while not having that. They're talking maybe Za'Darius Smith.
Sure. Coming back into the division again. Yeah,
again.
Yeah. Not sure where he was this year. But
Cleveland.
Cleveland. Oh, yeah. Cleveland has been a franchise on fire for like 15 years. And this year they have really brought into focus how terribly ran they are. It's amazing. They've bad signings, bad trades, bad worst everything. Signings. Just remarkably bad. It would be kind of fun to be a Cleveland Browns sports radio guy.
Would it be?
Of course it is, because you have something to talk about. There's, you know, if you're a fan, whether or not you're a fan, if you're on the air trying to come up with content for 8 hours a day, Cleveland Browns really do it for you. They make it easy. Kind of like, you know, the Yankees do, but they're just good. Dodgers do, they're good. Cleveland does because they're terrible. That would be easy pickings if you were on the radio for them. We were talking off the air about the best, and if you've paid attention at all to the standings, to any ESPN talk, to any NFL chatter this week, the talk is all four of the teams in the NFC North are in the power rankings, which takes into consideration all sorts of things. They're all in the top eight.
Yeah. I haven't seen that ranking yet.
We watched an undefeated Vikings team barely lose to what we think is the best team in the division, maybe in the conference, in the Detroit Lions. But right behind them, Green Bay is sitting with two losses, right? Two losses.
Yep.
And they've beat Houston, and Houston looked like one of the best teams in the AFC. Green Bay won games without their starting quarterback. They're ranked, I think, just below those two teams, but all in the top eight. And Chicago is...
not bad.
Not bad. Yeah, right.
The game this week, I think, too, with that Chicago Bears, they're playing Washington.
Okay.
So if Jaden Daniels plays, it'll be...
one versus two. That's an exciting game. That both of those quarterbacks as young... you know, franchise pieces for the NFL, not even for their own teams, have just been remarkably good. Caleb Williams started a touch slow, which is to be expected from nearly every rookie. You know, like, not every rookie is going to look like Jaden Daniels looked at the beginning of the year, but Caleb Williams has turned himself into a top-flight quarterback. They have a great offense. They have an offensive scheme that seems to make sense. They're very good at running the ball. They've got a ton of wide receiver talent. They don't have much of an offensive line.
Yeah.
But Caleb Williams being athletic and being able to move just a little bit has made that team, I mean, they're on the upswing for the next couple of years, right? Like they're
Oh yeah.
So it's hard to tell who the best team really is in this division. All of them are in the playoffs.
It'll come down to the very end. And, you know, I think Minnesota plays Detroit as the last game of the year, I think. So
sure. You know, and I know Green Bay plays Chicago last game of the year.
I think so.
Yep.
So.
It's not all the teams can't all finish with 12 wins. That's not going to happen. They're going to eventually start beating each other up,
right?
Their division games are starting soon. So, you know, there's either going to be a couple teams that run away with it. You're going to see two teams with 12 or 13 wins, or you're going to see all four of them with sitting around 10 and 7, all looking to make the playoffs. By the rankings, is there you're looking at the power, like the best defense, best offense numbers in the league. Is there what is it that Minnesota does better than most everybody else that is winning them games according to
their defense?
Is it the defense?
Yeah.
It is. It's not Justin Jefferson. It's not Aaron Jones. It's
no. I mean, I could go to the stat leaders individually wise. Complete rushing.
Because Brian Flores really has made all the difference then, correct?
I mean...
and getting talent.
Yeah. I mean, right now, Justin Jefferson's fifth for receiving yards.
Sure.
These are, you know?
Aaron Jones is probably a top five or 10 running back. Yeah.
10, yeah. But it's their defense. I mean, they're backing up the teams. I think they were, what I say, they were, there you go, number three for the most sacks.
Okay.
You know, turnovers, they're up there. You know, all that stuff. It's their defense that are real. It's really stepped up.
Yeah, okay.
So, you know, but Detroit's right there too. I mean.
Well, Detroit, despite their youth on defense, they, I think their offense is a top flight offense. It's put together well. It's got structure. It's got two running backs who can just, who can take over a game. It's got a wide receiving core that seems to be really good, and a quarterback who knows where he's throwing the ball. But that defense is, like I said, with losing their best player, and if they don't replace him, that defense is going to get a little worse throughout the year. Although, you know, being really young, like we watched with Green Bay last year, when you have a really young side of the ball, like offense for Green Bay last year was the youngest offense in the history of the NFL.
Right.
By the end of the year, you start to figure it out. Everybody gets into their roles and starts to get comfortable if they're a good team, well coached. And I think Detroit is. So I look at them as they have the best of both. I think they have a top 10 offense, top 10 defense potential.
Yeah.
Green Bay's defense is one of the best in the league.
Right up there, yeah.
They have put up stats or stopped stats against every team they've played. They've made big plays in every game. They're picking off the ball with regularity. Like it was shocking at the beginning of the year watching them create turnovers, right, because they hadn't in years and years and years and years. But all of a sudden, Xavier McKinney is playing like an all-pro.
Yep.
You're seeing a defensive line that first-round talent is starting to show up.
Sure.
And cornerback play has been spotty, but, you know, you can't have everything. Like, they have great safeties, they have great defensive line, yep, and linebackers. Somewhere, Jaire Alexander is supposed to be one of the best in the league.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, haven't seen it in a couple of years. And maybe that's because the opposite side of the field doesn't have talent either. Yeah, but
maybe he needs to stop talking so much.
Well, don't tell me how great you are. You don't have to yell about it. Just, I mean, next year he's not going to be with the Packers. I have full confidence that he's on that somebody's going to sign him to the largest cornerback contract in the history of the league, and I hope it's not Green Bay. I hope that they've seen what happens when you waste money on guys like that.
But I think overall, I think the North is probably one of the better divisions.
Oh, it's the best division, I'd say.
At this point?
The AFC North is down. The NFC West is down, right?
The East is down.
They're all of these are down. Green Bay, Minnesota, Detroit, and Chicago are all sitting above 500. They're all, yeah, I'm 100% of the belief that, for that, yeah.
Because the East is, that's a dumpster fire.
Correct. You're gonna see a couple
of Washington Commanders, which is it's hard time saying that.
Yeah, we have to accept it. Yeah,
the Commanders are looking good.
Like, I mean, a real team.
Yeah,
yeah. But even them, yeah, nobody else in that division. The AFC.
I mean, the Eagles are coming up back a little bit now after getting AJ Brown and Devontae Parker back.
Their health back. Yeah. It makes a difference.
But there's no other division really. Even the NFC West with Seattle, Cardinals, 49ers, or Rams.
Yeah, none of those teams are running away with anything. Rams have been hurt. 49ers have been hurt. The Cardinals have been the Cardinals all year.
Yep.
Probably will be next year. Yeah, they just are consistently a poorly run franchise. And when these big injuries, they're causing a little bit of, like, you know, everybody sort of comes together. Like, you're not able to separate. You're not able to win 6, 7, 8 games in a row because you're missing some talent. But with the NFC North, yeah, we didn't even talk about, like, Chicago, right? Like,
right.
Chicago is
improved
on both sides of the ball. They are they're another one of those. Their defense is top five. They have a very, very good defense. Their offense seems to know what they're doing. They've been on TV a few times.
Yeah.
Watched Caleb Williams look not great early in the year.
But if you look at his stats, it's always improving. Every game, and that's what you're looking for.
He's comfortably throwing 300 yards passing. He's getting himself.
I mean, it's the first time I've ever picked up a Chicago quarterback for my fantasy team.
I've had Jay Cutler back in the you know, what are you going to do? He's you got to try to win with what you got. And no, Caleb Williams has made himself fantasy football relevant, yep. Which, I mean, even though fantasy football is kind of a not a great, doesn't really show how great a player is. It really does, though. You get to see Caleb Williams is playing better than most every other quarterback in the league. And on your fantasy football waiver wire, he's an under, you know, like he's on, like there's 15 quarterbacks, starting quarterbacks on the waiver wire. He's the best one, which means he's a top flight quarterback. He's a top half quarterback. They look like Green Bay's defense is great. Their offense was supposed to be great, has just been pretty good. Although I think that's more of the games they've been in. They haven't, you know, when you're going a couple games without a starting quarterback, it makes your offense look a little rough. They've run the ball. They were fifth in the league in rushing, Green Bay was, which I wouldn't have predicted necessarily at the beginning of the year.
Right.
I know that they ran the ball quite a bit last year, but they weren't great at it. Josh Jacobs has played better, I mean, dare I say, better than Aaron Jones this year. And Aaron Jones has played pretty well. But right. Josh Jacobs has been a really welcome addition. Tucker Kraft has turned into a all-around tight end, a guy who blocks and catches touchdowns and is around. I wouldn't have believed that Green Bay's defense would be a top five, top three defense in the league, but they are. It has been, I don't know, since the early years of Dom Capers
sure.
that they've been this good on defense. But that's defense is the thing that can carry you all the way through the year. You know, right. when your offense eventually sputters, your defense. And like I said, I think all four of the teams in this division have a defense.
Yeah.
At least it feels like it, right? Like,
sure.
I know, what absolutely. Are we, six games in? Or seven games in?
Total defense. I mean, yeah, stat-wise, I mean, it's not the best, but...
No, this early in the year, you could have one bad defensive half, really, and your numbers right. get a little bit skewed. You could go up against one... Well, like the Buccaneers passing. Buccaneers have thrown for more yards passing than... Right. So if you've played the Buccaneers, you know, like, but they look like a team that's just going... All four of these teams. It's kind of funny. We could be talking any of these four teams with any of these descriptions of getting better every week, young quarterback, expectations, a defense that just keeps coming along.
Defensive-wise, as far as just the turnovers, just the basic stat,
mm-hmm.
it's Chicago's number three, Detroit's number four. Ranking wise, Green Bay's fifth. Minnesota, after last game, dropped down to seventh. So
okay.
all of them are in the top 10 just for turnovers.
Creating turnovers.
Which is, I mean, that's a major thing.
That is a major thing. That is a change of possession. That's a change of field. That's a momentum, big momentum shift, being able to make those plays. Yeah, no, a thing like that really does tell you that all four of these teams are playoff teams.
Right.
Like there isn't a stat out there. That tells that either of these, any of these four teams, are going to get worse. Feel like they're on the upswing. You know, you can't predict injuries, but you can consistently predict a team getting better, right? Like they don't. Most teams don't get worse in the middle of a season
unless an injury
right. happens.
Usually, well, Philadelphia last year, they had a 10 game. Remember, they were like 10-1.
Yes.
And then they lost every game almost.
Oh yeah, that's bad coaching. Yeah, that Nick Sirianni coaching. Yeah, not fantastic. Yeah. Who do you think the best coach out of the four in the division is? Because that really does make a difference. Or coaching staff, I guess.
I mean,
because you've been on the Dan Campbell wagon for years.
I do like Dan. I mean, he's just a different. I mean, he's that old school kind of coach, but I think with an open mind of you know. New things. I mean, I gotta like my Vikings coach. I mean,
Kevin O'Connell is a great offensive mind. Brian Flores is a top flight defensive defensive coach.
I mean, it's tough. I mean, that's probably why. I mean, we're not gonna say Chicago's head coach at all.
No, he's the worst coach in the division. I think he's a bottom third coach in the league generally.
If they don't make the playoffs, I think he'll get fired.
Still, yeah, especially when their team is looking good as they are. You have to go on like a 3-5 game losing streak to miss the playoffs at this point if you're any of these teams.
I mean, I do like Detroit's coach. I mean,
their offensive and defensive coordinators have both interviewed for head coaching jobs in the last interview cycle. And Dan Campbell is getting himself into that coach of the year conversation. Yeah.
I think it'd be Detroit, Minnesota. I think Matt LaFleur, yes, is good, but
wins and losses, his record is better than
anybody. Yeah,
almost better than anybody in the league since he's been in the league.
But I mean, the past several years, defensive coordinator. They're just hasn't been there.
They feel like they have great bones for a defensive for a team. Like, you've drafted well. You should be a better defensive team. And this year, it's finally showing. They added Robert Saleh. Recently fired head coach
part-timer.
Of the Jets.
Yeah, part-timer.
He's going to part-time. Well, I mean, why not? He's owed tens of millions of dollars from the Jets. I would take a part-time job hanging out watching football with my buddies. Yeah. Yep, that's a...
He's taking the approach. He's watching the offense from a defensive side.
Yes.
But he's not having anything to do with the defense.
Correct.
He's an observer. Objective observer.
You know, it's... It's a sweet gig if you can get it, really.
Yeah. Working a restaurant.
Speaking of NFL coaches, I read a stat or saw a stat yesterday. I didn't read it. I saw it. There was, you know, Andy Reid, head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs, has won the Coach of the Year award once. Yeah. Once in his career, 2002 with the Eagles in the heyday of Donovan McNabb. Terrell Owens.
How many Super Bowls does he have? Three now?
He's been in three. Yes, he's won three Super Bowls. He's been to five.
Yeah.
He's been a head coach for a very long time. They were in the Super Bowl and NFC Championship many times.
How many times did Belichick win it?
Like four.
What, did he?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, he won it quite a number of times. I just thought it was interesting that it's been, and this year, Andy Reid's probably having his best coaching job.
Coaching-wise,
This is the year, finally, if you were going to give Andy Reid his Lifetime Achievement Award for Coach of the Year, this seems like the year to get. Like, I was surprised, because Andy Reid is the second-best coach, maybe in a very long time, but the best coach in the league now.
Yeah,
absolutely. Now that Belichick is gone, I just thought it was an interesting stat how Coach of the Year and how they decide and how a team
lately
is put together.
It's been always younger.
Yes.
And I think that has something to do with it, too.
Yeah, Andy Reid hasn't been a young coach since, probably 2002.
Yeah, right.
It's been a while. That'll be NFL coverage. We got Packers are going against the Jaguars this weekend.
If they lose that game?
I mean, that's a momentum killer, man. You're going against the Jags team that hasn't been stateside in 3 weeks.
They won, though.
They won a game against a bad team.
Yeah, the Patriots.
But they were 1-1 on their European vacation. They've been gone for 3 weeks because, you know, they were.
That's a tough game. That's a tough stretch.
If you're the Jaguars at all, I mean, let alone a Jaguars fan, man, would you run out of things to get excited about if you're a Jaguars fan?
Yeah,
but
right.
they have spent 2 weeks touring Europe, played a couple football games. Now they're back. They're not good. This is one of those Doug Peterson, their head coach, could get fired.
I don't think he will.
And no one would question it.
But I don't think he will, though.
Good owners know when to fire a coach. That's one thing that good owners are supposed to be able to do correctly. If you can't hire the right guy, at least know when it's time to pull the Band-Aid and go.
Like Dallas.
Dallas is in that same boat, man. Cleveland apparently should.
We won't even go into that, but I will say that Jerry Jones needs to fire himself of general managing duties.
I mean, it's
horrible.
Not to say that a 78 to 80-year-old man running a franchise or a country or anything should be like qualified to do it, but you listen to him talk, you see his actions, and you start to realize, maybe that guy's too old to be in charge of anything. Yeah. He could be a figurehead if you're, say, that age, whatever, but
just be an owner, be a quiet owner, which he's never going
to
do.
He doesn't even have to be a quiet owner. His son is the other owner.
But
just have to hang out and be a rich guy.
They were talking about this morning in one of the radio shows, is that he's the only owner that has a radio show.
Yes, that's an oddity, because he also owns the station. Fun fact.
When
he was getting into the argument with the
last week
with the radio guys, when he told the radio guys, "I'll just get somebody else to ask these questions," he actually meant that. He could actually hired the gentlemen who are giving these puff piece radio shows. And so when he said he could fire, he absolutely could have. He could have just decided right then and there, you know what? You're fired.
So, Dallas is a hot mess. Whatever. Minnesota plays tonight against the Rams.
Thursday.
I expect them to win tonight.
Sure. Is it at the
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
At LA. So
those Thursday games are always an odd. Like, I would not, if I was a gambler, I would not be betting Thursday night games. They are so.
Yeah.
The under.
Short week and
the under.
Else.
Bet the under. There's going to be not a lot of points scored in this game, is generally how the Thursday night games go.
Yep.
Okay.
So we got, then we have Chicago and Washington.
Oh, that's just going to be a fun game to watch. That's, if you're into young talent, and you should be if you're into the NFL, that's a game worth watching.
What team am I missing? Detroit.
Detroit.
Where do they play? They might be on a bye.
I think they have a
Tennessee.
Tennessee. Okay. Well, they get
that win.
They get the soft treatment, like Green Bay got their win against Tennessee. Okay. So at the end of this, you've got Green Bay winning, you've got Detroit winning, you've got.
I don't know if it's Chicago and Washington. It depends on Jaden Daniels, if he plays or not.
Sure.
He's still questionable. I don't know. They haven't, obviously it's too early. When we're recording today, they haven't started practice yet. So they.
Sure.
If he doesn't practice today.
Generally, if you're not a Thursday or certainly a Friday practice, you are probably not a Sunday gamer. That's usually in the NFL how that shakes itself out. So we're not going to get much clarity on the best team or who got better this week.
No.
That's fine. It's a long season. I really don't know. I mean, being a Green Bay homer, it's easy for me to say, well, Green Bay is clearly, but they're not. Green Bay is clearly, none of those teams are clearly better than any of the other four teams. You could really make an argument, other than Chicago, an easy argument for any of those other three teams are the best team in the division.
Yep.
I think by the end of the season, you can make the same argument for Chicago. I think they're just going to keep coming. They're just going to keep, they're well put together team.
It's just hard to say about Chicago team.
It's been since the Lovie Smith days when they were in the Super Bowl with Brian Urlacher and Lance Briggs and
who was their quarterback?
Rex Grossman. Yeah. Devin Hester. I mean, that was the last time that Chicago was both relevant and well constructed, where their team made sense.
A minute and a half.
I think we really just did 28 minutes on just the NFC North. Man, our NFC North show was fantastic. In 1 minute, I will just state the NBA started for this week.
Yep.
It's an 82 game season, so nobody should get excited about it yet, unless you are a gambler or a giant NBA fan. LeBron James and his son played in a game together. Woo.
Yeah.
They sure put that story together and shoved that one down our throats for them. Now it's done with that.
Yep.
The World Series has started. That's another one of those. If you're a Milwaukee fan, you just go meh. Because it's the Dodgers and the Yankees, the two teams who spent the most money in the history of sports to put together a World Series team, and they did. So
I mean, Shohei Ohtani and Aaron Judge.
And Aaron Judge. Have the two best, most the faces of Major League Baseball really are on display. Which, if you're that's worth it, you know. And it's the Fall Classic, and I do like watching World Series games. Sure. I'll listen to it on the radio because it's good theater. It really is. They always comes down to some big thing that you're glad that you saw or watched for the NBA, baseball. One of them.
10 seconds.
Wisconsin and Penn State play. Penn State is favored by a lot. Everybody have a wonderful weekend. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.